All right, well, we need to turn to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32. And I want to share with you what the Word of God says here in Exodus 32 and make an application for you and me in the time that we are in. What an unusual time that we live in. It's just amazing to me when you think about what we've been through as a church the last couple of weeks. If I can just rehearse in your mind the fact that, a few weeks back now, I lose track of how many weeks now, we're probably getting close to a month when we had our spring revival. In fact, it is real close to a month when we had our spring revival. And I've mentioned this to you before since then, but what a great spring revival we had. God gave us great services and good messages, and I appreciated Brother Miller and his ministry that the Lord gave to him to give to us, and it was a blessing, and I know it challenged my heart. I felt like the Lord worked in a great way. In fact, maybe it's not just the spring revival, but I feel like over the past several months, the Lord is doing great things in our church. And I know in my life personally, He's bringing me to just different decisions and things that He's doing in my life that I can tell are good things. So I'm thankful for that. But then it was right after the spring revival that we started to see people who were getting COVID. I have been amazed at how strongly it has affected our church. Which, what's interesting to me is, while cases and the virus itself seems to be in decline to a great extent everywhere else, except Madison Baptist Church, is the way that it felt anyway. All around us, we see that things are starting to look like maybe very, very soon they'll get somewhat back to normal. When even the state of California is talking about in the summer, the life is going to be much like it was before the pandemic. When California says that, you know it's got to be desperate, right? Things are starting to look that way. But obviously, we were hit very, very hard. And I think what I believe is what is going on is God is allowing at this time for us to be tested. It's a time where, just like with Job, God allows things that seem bad to happen to people who are seemingly good, right? People who are trying to serve God and love the Lord, and yet Satan is allowed to beat up on them for a while. And by the way, that's normal. I hope that you understand that in the Christian life, as you serve the Lord, it's normal for you to face setbacks. It's normal for you to face some time where Satan is just allowed to use you as a punching bag. God allows that. And it's a testing time. So I want you to be encouraged. Good things are happening. And that's why Satan is fighting in the way that he is. But really, what we need to remember is it's important how we react. What we do when Satan is treating us like we're a punching bag, and when God's allowing that to happen. What now? How are we going to react? What's going to be our decision going forward? That's really the question that we need to ask. Let me do this. Let me make it more personal. How are you going to react? Let me even say that to those watching via live stream. What about you? What is your reaction going to be? All of this has gone on with us. Now what? It's a great question. Let me show you from God's Word some people who made a wrong decision in a time of testing. All right? Exodus 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, or in other words, we know not, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. Notice that. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And then verses 11 through 14, Moses intercedes for them. God hears his intercession and repents of the evil that he intended to do to Israel. But here we have a people who, when they saw this change in the situation where Moses is delaying to come down from the mount, there's a trial that comes their way, there's a testing, and their response is to turn away from what's right and turn to other gods. What about you and me? Are we going to be like them? You see, we've been blessed by a great time. God is allowing us to go through a time of testing. God wants to use this for good, but Satan wants to use it for bad. The choice is up to us how we will respond. Will we be stiff-necked like the people of Israel, the children of Israel? Will we turn quickly out of the way? Is it just a small testing that needs to come our direction for us to turn aside from the decisions that we've made and the faithfulness that we've had? Is that what all that it'll take? Is just a small testing? Or will we be faithful? It's a great question that we ought to ask ourselves. And tonight I would ask you to just allow the Lord to speak to you personally and make an application so that hopefully all of us can make the decision, you know what, with this time of testing, we're going to get through this, we're going to get to the other side, and when we get to the other side of this, we're going to, with the Lord's help and by His grace, we're going to go full bore, all out for God. Not in the power of the flesh, but relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be 100% for the Lord. That's a decision that only you can make for yourself. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, thank you for sharing with us in your word the things that happened to the children of Israel. We know what your word says, Lord, that these things happened unto them for examples so that we could learn from them. Now, Lord, would you help us to learn? Holy Spirit of God, would you make an application in my life, in the lives of each one listening, and the life of us as a church? And would you please use this message, not for my benefit, but for yours? These are your people. This is your church. It matters not what I think. It matters not what my opinion is or what I would want to say to your people. Lord, the only important thing is that you speak. Because again, they belong to you and this church is yours. You're the one who has raised it up. You're the one that has preserved it now for these 60 years. Now, Lord, it is your job as well tonight to speak. And Lord, I ask that you would. We humble ourselves before you. And Lord, we need to hear your voice. Lord, we're desperate to hear your voice. Especially in this time, we need you. Please speak. Thank you for giving us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your place in Exodus 32, but turn back with me to Exodus 24, if you would. Exodus 24. And I want you to see tonight, as we look at this message, I want you to see from Exodus 24 that these people of God, the children of Israel, had just committed themselves to God. Remember that this is the time when Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai and God had given him the Ten Commandments. Remember in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments are listed. But God even continued after the Ten Commandments to give them other commandments, and he was giving them a testament or a covenant between him and them. And it was a really blessed time. We don't often think of it that way when he gave them the Ten Commandments, but what a privilege for them to be a peculiar people to God. In other words, belonging only to him and him only to them. What an amazing blessing they had. They were gifted by God to be able to hear his voice and have commandments that if they would follow those commandments, they would be blessed above all people and it would separate them from all the nations of the earth, that they had the commandments of God and they could obey them. What a privilege they had. And as Moses came down from that mount the first time after God had told him the Ten Commandments, now, not talking about when he came down with the Ten Commandments in his hand written on tables of stone. I'm talking about when he went up and God spoke to him and he comes back down and then he goes up with the 70 elders of Israel. Notice what it says in chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. Notice this. And all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Now, by the way, this is a little over a month before chapter 32. A little more than a month before. They're saying, yes, we're going to obey God's commands. We want to obey it. Verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, notice this, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. We read about that even, by the way, in Hebrews. That was the beginning of the covenant right there. This is the covenant that God made with them. Now, verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me, or come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rode up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. That's a glorious time. What a wonderful miracle. They saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai. Moses goes up. He hears the voice of God. The people accept the covenant of God. They had just committed themselves to God. But now in chapter 32, again, just 40 days later, what does the Bible tell us? They faced a trial. And do you know what the interesting thing is about that? That is often the case in the Christian life. Right after God gives a blessing, you know, oftentimes a trial is right behind that. God has ordained it that way. I think about it in my own personal Bible reading time. I'm reading through, I just finished up with 1 Samuel. Many of you probably are with me on the same schedule, and you started 2 Samuel, I think it was today. I know for me, as I got to the end of 1 Samuel, or toward the end of it, one of the things that stands out to me every time I read it is how King Saul, when he was first anointed and he begins to see blessings, yet when there's a time when the Philistines are there and it's time to go to battle, and he's waiting for Samuel to come. You remember that? Samuel's going to come. He's going to offer a sacrifice, and then they're going to go out to battle. And because Samuel is late, by the way, another example why you should never be late. Timeliness is important. You could ruin somebody's life by being late, okay? That's what happened with Samuel and Saul. And he's late, and so the people are beginning to leave Saul. And he's down to, I think, what was it, like 300 men is all he had with him, and they're going against the Philistines? I mean, he needed more than that. And forgive me for doing this, but I sympathize a little bit with Saul. I'm like, well, God, I mean, come on. He's got to do something, right? The people are leaving. But he was wrong. He took upon himself the priesthood, which really belonged to Samuel, when Samuel was the one who was supposed to offer the burnt offering, and yet he took upon himself something that didn't belong to him, all because the test came and he failed the test. And we go on and on with examples of people who were tested by God. What about you and me? Are we going to be like the children of Israel and fail the test, or are we going to be like Abraham? Did Abraham have a test? Yes. You remember in Genesis, he waited a long time for God to give him a child, and he received one son of promise, one. And God tempted Abram, the Bible says, and said to him, you're to take that son that you love, you're to take him up to the mount, and you're to slay him there as a burnt offering. And the Bible says that he went. He rose up early and obeyed. He passed the test. Friends, it's God's nature to test his people. When somebody commits to God, when somebody makes a decision for God, a testing, a trial often follows right next door, right in the footsteps of that blessing. And that's the way it was for the children of Israel. And how did the children of Israel react in Exodus 32? We already read it, but they turned to idols for their direction. Notice what it says again in verse number, let's look at verse number 5. Start with verse 4. And he received them at their hand, the golden earrings, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, Exodus 32, verse 4, toward the end of the verse, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What was their response in the trial? To turn from God and to turn to idols, little g gods. Now notice that. Pay attention to that. Friends, the temptation when we go through a trial like we're going through right now is to turn to idols away from following the living God. And I don't mean idols as in little statues. I hope you don't have those in your house, and I hope you don't bow down to them, and I hope you're not in any kind of a situation where you'd be tempted to do that. But in our modern culture, we're not tempted necessarily by a little idol that would sit on the shelf that we'd burn incense to. Rather, we're tempted in other ways, but they're still idols. Things that we would turn to. Maybe it's an old fear that has held onto us in the past. And friends, fear can be an idol. Maybe it's something else that would be some kind of an idol where it would, in this time of testing, when, boy, we're going on for God, and all of a sudden it's like we're sucker punched, which is kind of what it feels like as a church, doesn't it? The temptation now is to get our eyes off of God and get our eyes off of what God wants us to do and the focus that he's given us and the direction that he's given us. And the temptation is for us to turn to other things and allow just the old habits to come back, the old idols to come back into our life. That's what happened to the children of Israel. Friends, don't let that happen. The children of Israel turned to idols for direction. They forgot faith. They forgot faith. The Bible tells us that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. Let me ask you this. What's the problem with Moses delaying to come down out of the mount? Nothing. Nothing. Is it a delay? Yes. Is it a problem? No. Are they going to survive? Yes. All they had to do was wait. All they had to do was trust. All they had to do was have faith in God. The same is true for us. Sometimes something like this hits us. We get into a problem. We get into trial. And automatically what we think of is the worst case scenario. And usually our worst case scenario is worse than even the true worst case scenario. A lot of times our worst case scenario is something we've imagined in our own minds. It's not even reality. But we have in our mind, oh no, look at this now. And if this doesn't work out just perfectly, then death is imminent or whatever. Destruction, complete and total. Everything's going to be wiped out and it won't be the same. Friends, don't let that happen. Don't forget faith. They forgot it. They also left God behind. Now, the interesting thing is they put a religious spin on it. They put a religious spin on it. They were worshiping these gods, and yet it was a feast unto the Lord. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to serve Jehovah God and the little g gods. You don't get to worship Jehovah God and have a molten calf as your idol. It doesn't work that way. You can try to put a spin on it, but it doesn't work. That's what they did. They fell prey to the lusts of the flesh. We won't turn later on in the chapter, but what you notice when you read through it is what they did is they began to then indulge in the lusts of the flesh. There was dancing. There was music that was what I would call rock music. And the Bible says that they were revealing their nakedness, which goes right along with rock music and those kind of things. Friends, they got into the lusts of the flesh. And that's what happens to you and me. We're in trouble if we're not led by the Spirit of God. We're in trouble if we're not led by the Spirit of God, and that's what happened with them. So that leads me to kind of bringing this to a conclusion now. Very simple message this evening. What about you and me? What danger do we face in this time? I've alluded to a couple things already, but what danger do we face? Well, in a time of trial, we can often forget faith. We can often get our eyes off of God. And friends, let me encourage you in this time, don't let your eyes get off of God. Keep them on God. In fact, if anything, spend more time with God than you usually do in a time like this. Those of you who are at home and dealing with the sickness and dealing with symptoms and those things, please get into the Word of God. Read God's Word. If you're not feeling well enough to even hold your head up, and I know some people have felt that way, then, you know, talk to me and I can help you find on YouTube some good places where you can find the Word of God being read in a YouTube video and good things like that. Or I can get you some copies of the Word of God in an audio form and you can listen to it, but you need to be in God's Word. Turn on good Christian radio. Is there such a thing? Yes, there is such a thing. There are some good Christian radio stations out there. Find a good one and listen to it. Get into the things of God. You need that because otherwise you'll forget faith. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 4. When we think about faith and the opportunity, the challenge, the temptation to forget faith, Mark chapter 4 comes into my mind. Mark chapter number 4, we'll start with verse 35. Mark 4 and verse 35. Speaking of trials coming after blessings, Mark 4, 35 says, "And the same day when the even was come, he," Jesus, "saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus has a destination waiting for them. Verse 36, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Let's stop there for just a second. Why was Jesus asleep on a pillow in the ship in the middle of a storm? Well, number one, because he was tired. He was working hard. We know that especially from the book of Mark. The book of Mark emphasizes that more than any other of the Gospels, the tireless working of the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. So he was exhausted. But even being exhausted doesn't explain how he could be asleep in the middle of the storm when the boat is filling up. But why could he do that? Here's why. Because he knew the Father's will. And the Father's will was that they would get to the other side. That's why he said to them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Remember, he did all things according to the will of the Father. So he knew it is the Father's will that we get to the other side. So why would he be afraid in the middle of a storm in the middle of that Sea of Galilee? He knew that the Father would get them to the other side. Friends, that's faith. Faith is not making up an imaginary thing in my mind and saying, "Okay, I have no real promise of God, but I'm just going to pretend that everything's going to be okay. I'm going to pretend that I'm Pollyanna," if you can remember that movie from years and years ago, right? That everything's just going to always work out okay. That's not Christianity. But Christianity does teach faith in God, that if God promises something, no matter what the storm looks like, I can believe God, and God will get me through. And that's what we need in this time. We need faith like that. That says, okay, yes, it's a time of testing, but listen, God will get us through. We don't have to quit. We don't have to pull back. We don't have to pretend like, "Oh no, what now are we going to do?" No, no, no. Let's get through this and let's go forward. God will help us. And that's faith. Let's read on what happened as Jesus is asleep on a pillow, middle of verse 38. "And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Verse 39. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It strikes me what Jesus said. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He was surprised that they had no faith. He had told them, we're going to go to the other side. Why were they so fearful? They thought they were going to die. They weren't going to die. Jesus was with them in the boat. But they accuse him of not caring for their needs, and that's just not true. And what caused that? They had no faith. Friends, the danger for us that we face in a trial after a blessing is we often forget faith. When we're in the time like we were in a spring revival, we're hearing good messages, we're responding to the Word of God, the altar's full, people are making decisions for God, we have much faith at that time because it looks like things are going well and we're doing well and we're going to go forward to God, forward for God. And sometimes God allows us then to be sucker punched by Satan, and then all of a sudden we say, whoa, 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 what's happening now? I think we're all going to die. We may not use those words, but our mentality can be that way. Friends, let's not let that happen. Let's not forget faith. God will get us through. We can go through and we can go forward for God in this time, okay? The next danger that we face is in a time of trial, we can turn to idols. In a time of trial, we can turn to idols, other things. And I'm not trying to, this evening, name all the idols that we would struggle with because each one of us is different. But allow God to speak to your heart about what are the things that when you're not trusting in God, you are trusting in. Because we're always trusting in something. When we're not looking to God, what are we looking to? For each one of us, again, it might be a different thing or different things. But whatever they are, they're idols. Whatever takes the place of God, they're little g gods that we have in our lives. And the danger in a time like this is that we would turn to those little g gods, that we would look to them for our assurance, look to them for our comfort, look to them for the steadiness in our life, rather than looking to the Lord God. That's a danger in this time. So that leads me to basically this final point of the message, what should we do? What should we do? You say, okay, Pastor, you've mentioned to us the dangers, you've given us an illustration out of Exodus 32, now what? Well, the answer for you and me is the same as it was for the children of Israel in Exodus 32. What should they have done? They should have waited. They should have been quiet, still, and waited. They should have trusted in the Word of God and focused on God's Word. God had just given them commandments. God had just made, 40 days earlier, a covenant with them. They should have focused on that covenant and just lived out life and said, it's not dependent on Moses, it's dependent on God, and I'm just going to trust God at this time. And friends, the same is for you and me. We need to keep our focus on God, listen, and His Word. And His Word. The decisions that we make going forward, listen, please hear this. Are they going to be based on feeling? Are they going to be based on what we can scheme in our mind as the right thing? Or are we going to base our decisions on God's Word? We need to base them on God's Word. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The last set of scripture that we're going to look at is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice in verse 1, now it's 22 verses, we may not read all of them, but notice what the Word of God tells us in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, which means privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That's interesting, isn't it? Speaking about the last times, there will be false prophets. I believe it's specifically referring to the fact that they will pervert the Word of God. And we're seeing that in our day, where there are so many perversions of the Word of God. And just like it says that they are doing it for monetary gain, we see that much in the realm of Bible versions. It's a money-making industry. So it just fits right in. But I don't think that's the only application. There are just false prophets who will be in these days that will try to make money off of the gullibility, if that's a word, of people and the willingness of people to be sheep and just follow whomever, right? And then in verse 4, he talks about how God will destroy them. Look down at, let's see here, verse number 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. We'll stop there. I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. What you find is in the last days, there's going to be false prophets who will turn people away. Okay. So knowing that that's true, now what? Does Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, does he give any remedy to God's people? Just like in 1 John, as we studied in Sunday school, that there are many antichrists, the spirit of antichrist is in the world, and all of that. Is there any tool that God gives us to avoid going the wrong direction? Let's make an application to you and me today. When we're tempted in a time of testing to turn to idols, to leave faith, is there any remedy whatsoever? What can we do about it? Well, the remedy in 2 Peter is in the previous chapter. It's in the previous chapter at the end of the chapter. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 19. The Apostle Peter, speaking about the time when he and the others were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, they heard a voice, they saw the glory, all of those things. Here's what he says about that in verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, more sure than a word from heaven. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What's he talking about there? The Bible. What's the answer? What's the remedy? If there are going to be false prophets who are going to try to turn us from the truth, what remedy do we have to keep ourselves safe? And the answer is, it is to get into the sure word of prophecy. It is to do exactly what he said, which was, we would do well if we would take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. To use this as a light, because are we in a dark world? Yes. In this day and age in which we live, is it a dark world? Absolutely, it's a dark world. Listen, even with the stuff that we're facing with coronavirus, just that one thing. Listen, there's a lot of confusion out there. Have you noticed that? I talked to somebody today about a certain situation they're in, and they said to me, this is the wording that they used, it's hard to sort through all of the rules. And I thought to myself, that's an understatement. It is. You hear one thing from this person, another thing from that person. You can do this here and that there. And it's darkness, right? There's confusion everywhere. What do we do? Listen, the very first thing we should do is get our focus on God's word. Because if there's a command of God, if there's a direction from God, if there's something that he has said to do, then we know that that is right. That's one area where we can say, I know this is right. So I need to, in these days and in times when I'm tested, I need to get into the Word of God and make sure my focus is on it. What does God say to do? What are the principles that God gives me? What are the commands that God gives? And I need to live according to that. Not let loose of faith and not fall prey to idols. I need to get into God's Word. Are you in God's Word? And are you obeying God's Word? It's a great question for us this evening. Let me encourage you this evening to make a decision with the Lord's help to say, Lord, I know you've allowed this time of testing for us. I know you've allowed this time of testing for me. Lord, would you help me not to do what the children of Israel did, not to lose faith, not to turn to idols, but Lord, would you help me to focus on your word, to sit and be still and know that you are God and that you're going to take care of all things. Let me encourage you to make that decision tonight. Let's pray and we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and I thank you for the fact that you've shared with us from your word what the children of Israel did in Exodus 32. Lord, we're just like them. We are hard on them many times, but Lord, the truth of the matter is I'm stiff-necked like they are. Lord, a lot of times my faith is small, and when there's a testing time, I want to run to the idols of my heart. Lord, that's wickedness, and I'm ashamed to even say it. But Lord, I pray that you would remind me and remind all of us that we need to be in your book, your word. And Lord, would you even open our eyes to how does this word, this book, apply to us in these days? What principles, what commands can we take out of it that would be applicable to these days for our individual situations? When we make decisions on what to do and how to do it and all of that, Lord, would you turn us to your word? I thank you, Lord, that you will. I'm trusting that you would do that even in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet at this time. The pianist is going to play a hymn of invitation. You know how it goes with an invitation. Let me encourage you, make a decision for the Lord even right now. Turn to him with all of your heart and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm not going to let go of faith. With your help, I'm going to hold on to what you've told me to do. I'm going to go forward for you. Sure, there's a pause right now. Sure, there's a time where we've had to kind of step back a little bit, but God, with your help, when we're through this time of pause, this time of delay, I want to go forward for you. If God has spoken to your heart, you come.